Meanwhile, I want all you Dibbons to be very good little creatures. Do what you're told by those who look after you. Mother Mellus, Sister Sage, Sister Serena, Simeon, Brother Sactus, myself.
And Brother Hubert too.
Yes, and Brother Hubert too.
And Formole as well, Habit.
Yes, Formole as well.
And Mother Mellus too.
Yes, I've already said Mother Mellus. Now listen to me, please.
And the fish is in a pond.
Now don't be silly. I said listen to what...
And a big red strawberry too.
Big red strawberry? What big red strawberry? Oh dear, Simeon, help me, please.
The blind herbalist spread his paws wide and cried out,
"The grockle-dee-boo eats noisy Dibbons!"
Immediately a silence fell. The little ones sat wide-eyed in fright. Simeon took the opportunity to finish the lecture.
"But we'll chase the grockle-dee-boo away if you're all very good, so listen to me. You must obey all the grown-up creatures. Do as they say. If you are sent indoors, go straight in. Do not try to leave the abbey. We don't want you going outside. Stay out of the way. Eat all your food. Keep yourselves clean and go to bed on time. Most important of all, stay away from the wall tops. If there is fighting, you could be hurt. And we couldn't have that now, could we?"
"No, sir, Simeon, sir."
The chanted chorus came back at Simeon.
"Her little good beasts, you're meeting up all your victuals now and run along to play."
Formole chuckled as he strolled off with Simeon and the abbot.
"I'm a-thinking they've got the message, sirs."
Leaning against the battlement, Flag twirled his sling idly, scanning the northward path.
"All quiet this side, young Sextus."
Sextus licked plum cake from his paws before shouldering his spear.
"This side too, Flag, but I'm wondering for how long."
"Can you feel it too, mate? It's as if there's a sort of calm before the storm. I don't like it."
Dandin and Mariel were anxious to be away, but half the morning was gone, and still they had to wait about. Stonehead's wife, Thunderbeak, had insisted on reprovisioning their empty packs, and she was somewhere off in the woods. Stonehead and his four owl chicks put on several exhibitions of wrestling, butting and kicking. Tarquin and Duddy had to keep avoiding being used as demonstration examples. Finally, Thunderbeak arrived back with the knapsacks.
"Not much, I'm afraid, but it'll have to do. Plenty of apples, some white mushrooms, wild damsons, not too ripe. Bit of celery, some other bits and bobs. Oh, there's some woodland scones, though they've been lying about a bit. And my own make, very nourishing."
They thanked her, allowed themselves to be pecked and kicked one last time by the owl chicks, then struck westward, led by Stonehead. The strange forest grew dimmer and more gloomy, until finally they were in a world of black shadow and green light. Trees were immensely tall, with long bare trunks crowded together like black columns, the foliage growing at their tops, completely blocking daylight, turning it into sinister green shafts. Little or no shrubbery grew on the forest floor, which was composed of squishy dark leaf mould with massive tree roots crisscrossing like dark giant veins. Marielle noticed that the silence was total. Whenever they talked, their voices echoed spectrally around the gaunt trees. To cheer things up a bit, Tarquin twanged his herolina and began a ditty.
"Old Mrs. Hedgehog, here's what she likes. A little fat husband with lots of spikes. And a quarrel with the squirrel who wears flowers round his middle. And a chestnut for her supper on a winter's night."
He came to a faltering halt as Stonehead turned his great golden eyes upon him.
"You have to make that silly noise, Rabbit. One more song out of you and I'll wrap that herolina thing round your skull. This is bad country. We don't want to attract attention to ourselves. Now, do you hear me?"
Tarquin walked behind Duddy and Dandin, muttering under his breath.
"Sure sign of a savage. No appreciation of good music. Bet the belly fella wouldn't complain if it was a piece of boiled flitch eye instead of a piece of beautiful music."
"Aye,"
Duddy whispered back.
"And what's a poor lad to do wandering round like an ant lost in a dark well bottom?
What I wouldn't give for a flagon of my old uncle's giggly juice right now.
Marielle watched the back of Stonehead's enormous figure, sometimes hopping before them, other times winging low between the trees. How he knew the way westward was a mystery to her. She had lost all sense of time and distance, tramping through this eerie world. Quite suddenly, after what seemed an endless trek, Stonehead fluttered onto a fallen tree and turned to them.
This is it, Swamp Darkland. Never go any further than here myself. Not afraid of it, just don't like the place. Right, you're on your own now. I won't say good luck, because you'll end up dead or devoured. I'm sure of it. Always remember, though, if you ever get back to my part of the forest, give me a call. Now, we McGurneys aren't the wisest owls anywhere, but it's an acorn to an apple tree. We're the bravest.
With that, he was gone, winging away through the trees before they had a chance to thank him or say goodbye. Dandin sat on the fallen tree and undid his knapsack.
Well, goodbye, Stonehead McGurney. I'm starving. Let's sit here a while and have lunch in peace for a change. Golly, look at this!
They climbed up onto the fallen trunk, staring in the direction they would be taking. It was practically pitch black. Low-hanging trees with heavy weed trailing from them held out knotted and gnarled branches like predatory claws, waiting to seize the unwary traveller. The ground was a greeny brown, with odd clumps of blue and white flowers sticking up. Through it all ran several raised paths, humps of solid rocky earth, which meandered off in various directions. The whole scene was one of complete depression. It weighed on their spirits like a millstone.
Oh, corks, you chaps. The place is enough to give a bod the complete pip just looking at it, what?